I want to take this moment to say that if you are still not enjoying life, if you're still not after this many weeks, don't fret. Don't fret. We are far from done. This is getting much bigger than I thought it would be, and I got more and more weeks coming. In fact, the next obstacle that keeps us from enjoying life is going to take us 3 times as long to investigate as each of our previous obstructions. And that's because this next joy-robbing practice infiltrates 3 vitally important areas of our life. So let's begin tonight by looking at the first one. Let me just say this. I went down to Fort Rucker, Alabama a couple of years ago when my son was going through flight school. Now, I met about 2 dozen of his friends and his fellow Army officers who were starting the program, the flight program, with him, and I got to know them pretty quickly. Now, as we stood around a campfire chatting, the conversation really went in 2 different directions. Some spoke about the different hurdles and trials that awaited them in the training for flight school, while others swooned about the excitement and the prestige of actually becoming an Apache gunship helicopter pilot. Well, I didn't think anything of it at the time until I went back down to Fort Rucker halfway through that flight school training. That's when I learned that one of the young men, Gladstone, had quit the program. Now, what made this news so baffling was that he quit after going through almost all of the toughest tests and doing all of the hardest requirements. I talked to some of the other men about it, and they told me that Gladstone had put in for an administrative job, and he was actually hoping to get out of the Army altogether. I asked the men, I said, what do you think happened? And one of the men quickly offered this opinion. Gladstone was fairy-taling. He went on to say, Gladstone dreamed about the romantic parts of the pilot career and ignored the struggles and the heavy toll the training exacts from its would-be pilots. He was caught up in the fantasy, not the reality. Well, that's what the man said, and that's what hit me. And I haven't forgotten that. He was caught up in the fantasy, not the reality. Friends, that practice, that focus, will make it impossible for a person to enjoy life. Life enjoyment seeker, if you are struggling today to enjoy life, ask yourself this. Am I pursuing, or am I running after, or am I running on a fantasy instead of a fact? Am I basing my expectations on ideals, not reality? Because if I am doing that, well, you're fairy-tailing. Now, we fairy-tale about a lot of things in our lives, but you can group them into really 3 distinct categories. Fairy tales you believe about yourself, fairy tales you believe about other people, and fairy tales you believe about God. Now, that collection pretty much covers everything in our lives. So let's dive into that first category tonight. The first category, fairy tailing about yourself. Friends, there are tons of areas about ourselves that we fairy tale. But in my travels, I have found that there are a handful of very prevalent myths that are big-time enjoy-life squashers. The first big fairy tale is this: believing you won't make mistakes. Friends, none of us wants to do things the wrong way. None of us wants to say something we shouldn't say. And none of us wants to make the choice or the decision that is going to train wreck our lives. But gang, we are going to. We are going to make mistakes. That's just the way things are. Jesus tells us in the Bible to strive to be perfect, but we also are told in the Bible that we will not attain perfection until after we have crossed over the great river. I have seen people pray about something, struggle to go the direction they are supposed to go, take every precaution to do the right thing, only in the end to find out that what they chose was incorrect. Friends, even when we are careful, and even when we are walking with Jesus, holding our hand, we still make mistakes. I said something I shouldn't. Even with Jesus holding my hand, I said something I shouldn't have said. I bought something I wasn't supposed to buy. I said something that was a big mistake. I ate something that was bad for me. I acted in a way that I'm now ashamed of. Friends, the Bible is filled with spiritual heroes who've all made mistakes. Joseph, one of my personal favorites. Joseph boasts about himself, doesn't he? And then after he's done doing that, he goes and gossips to his father about his brothers. Abraham lies about being married to Sarah and hands his wife over to another man. Jesus' own disciples argue about who will be the greatest in the kingdom. Do I even need to mention David, Samson, or Peter? Life enjoyment seeker, if you are wired to be hard on yourself when you fail, if you are prone to condemning yourself for mistakes, and if you can't let go of something that God has forgiven you of, then know this, you're fairy tale-ing. You have bought into a fable that says you must achieve perfection, and you aren't allowed to make a mistake along the way. Friend, it's going to happen. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we claim that we are free of sin, we're only fooling ourselves. A claim like that is errant nonsense. And again, reality backs up the truth of that Bible verse. You will make mistakes. And instead of fairy-tailing about what isn't possible, we need to be able to accept failure when it happens and then make the proper adjustments for next time. What you cannot do is allow joy to be robbed from you because you set a storybook standard for yourself of being flawless. Paul, the great man of God, wrote this. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. In this verse, Paul is wrestling with the truth that he makes mistakes and he sins. A challenging reality? Yes. But much better than a fantasy that 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 tells us can't be achieved. Okay, the next fairy tale we believe about ourselves is this. Believing finances will take care of themselves. Like I said, just so you know where this is coming, this list of major fairy tales we believe about our lives, this comes from my personal pastoral counseling over the past 20 years. These are not hypotheticals. These are not maybe problems. These are actual issues robbing people's joy. And guess what? How to handle finances is in the top three items of people getting hoodwinked. Westridge, anyone who's lived on their own learns very quickly that as far as finances go, what I bring in each month must be greater than what I spend each month. Notice I didn't say that they must match or be equal. You live like that and you won't enjoy life for very long. No, the reality is what I bring in each month must be greater than what I spend each month. I must have something in savings as a cushion. Now, here's the good news. God puts His Holy Spirit inside of us to help guide you with your personal leadership. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, we are told, because the Spirit works with us to make life work. It's a partnership with God. And you yoked together, tied together, so you can pull together with God. Matthew 11, chapter 29. Place my yoke over your shoulders and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it, God says. Gang, here's the deal. God is the lead sled dog. But that doesn't mean He does all the pulling. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17 tells us, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, 'Goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well,' but then you don't give the person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So, you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless." Now, back to our fairy tale. Believing finances will take care of themselves. God followers, we are fairy taling if we think God will wave a magic wand over our checkbook and He will make it turn into a cornucopia flowing with cash simply because we prayed for it. Gang, we know God has emphatically promised to provide for our needs. That's what it tells us in Matthew 6. So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" or "What shall we wear?" For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God has promised to provide, but using prayer like it's an ATM card won't work. If you believe it will, you're fairy taling. Enjoy life, seeker, with the Holy Spirit's insight, the Holy Spirit's power. Each of us must grab our personal finances by the horns and make those finances obey us. We must wrangle and steer our finances, not let them wrangle and steer us. Now, more good news. Let me give you some more good news on this subject. It doesn't matter what amount you earn or what amount you spend. Whether you make a lot, spend a lot, or make a little, spend a little. The income just needs to be a little bit more than spending. The Holy Spirit will help you in all things. He will help you determine with God where you can live by your finances. He will help you determine what you can do. He will help you determine what changes you can make to increase your income or reduce spending. Is it work? You bet it's work. But embracing reality will allow you to enjoy life. Where the fairy tale of thinking finances will take care of themselves, friends, that will yank your Enjoy Life magnet off your car faster than Miss Kelly switching on her electric blanket on a sub-zero day. Okay, fairy taling number one is believing you won't make mistakes. Fairy taling number two, believing finances will take care of themselves. Number three, third fairy tale. Believing you can ignore your health and abuse your body. Now you can probably tell I'm getting older. Don't worry. I'm fine. I'm good, but I think Toby Keith said it best. I ain't as good as I once was. So, your next issue to consider, if you are not enjoying life and your health is not what it should be, you're fairytaling, thinking it's okay the way it is. If I am ever at a men's group meeting, and it's just one of those nights when the men are not very talkative, if I'm having one of those nights and I say, wow, the men just aren't talking right now, I wish I'd get them to talk, all I have to do to change that is say this: okay, gentlemen, how's your blood pressure these days? Oh, my goodness, that will set off a rampage of conversation with the men, not only about blood pressure, but also about hip replacements, hearing aids, bifocals, and back pain. It will take everything I have inside of me to shut that thing back down by 9 o'clock. See, with my increasing years of experience, I find it's very easy to get conned by the fairy tale that we do not have to pay any attention at all to our bodies. We do not have to invest any time, don't have to invest any effort, don't have to invest any money, and don't have to make a priority out of it. Now, I know, you're here listening tonight, you're saying, boy, these issues are very specific tonight. But I'll tell you the truth. I have not counseled individuals who are hating life because they do not know what day Jesus is coming back. That's not happening. But I have counseled a ton of people who tell me that they are in immense, uncomfortable pain and they can't stand being in their own skin. Life enjoyment seeker, there is hope. There is a way to wake up from the fairy tale and embrace reality. Change comes one step at a time. And we just knocked out the biggest step. We unmasked the fairy tale that people have been believing. Knowing, seeing it, that's half the journey to solution. That's half the journey. But now, after knowing, we must change. My encouragement to you is to make one change that you will do every single day. For a lot of us, that means seeing a doctor first and get his counsel, then I am sure that doctor will have a prescription for something you need to do every day. It may be telling you to start by taking a daily vitamin. It may be telling you to get rid of salt in your diet. It may be walking every day. It may be getting a certain amount of rest. But we must embrace change every day. I have found out it's not what you do one day that matters. It's what you do most days that matters. Soldier, you do not fall into an enjoyable life. You build an enjoyable life. Let me say that again. You do not fall into an enjoyable life. You build an enjoyable life. Okay, final fairy tale that we tell ourselves. Okay, it's all aimed at what we do towards ourselves. Believing your life affects only you. It's a common misbelief that we can be independent, autonomous, separate person whose life is completely self-contained and totally separate from others. We think our decisions affect only us. We believe our actions have consequences for only ourselves. And we buy into a fairy tale that I'm only impacting, directing, and steering my life. After all, we're not telling people what to do. We're just living life as we see fit. When you're fairy taling, you believe your life doesn't affect anyone else but yourself. But reality tells us nothing can be further from the truth. For me, one of the most powerful pictures of this came years ago while I was watching an investigative journal TV show. The story was about a young man, probably just turned 19, who had never met his father. His mother had raised him as a single mom and never offered him any information about the young man's biological dad. The story went on to explain how the young man's whole life he searched, was obsessed with having a relationship with his real biological father. Well, to make a long story short, the boy does locate his father. He's old enough now to go travel, to go see him. The boy shows up unannounced on a man's front doorstep and knocks on the door. The man comes to the door. The boy introduces himself, tells him who he is. The father comes through the door quickly and closes the door behind him and listens to the boy's story. The father spends about five minutes talking with the boy. The father rushes through an explanation of his leaving before the boy was born. He goes on to tell his son that he has built a new life over the past 2 decades that includes a wife that he loves and several children. He explains how he has no desire, no room in his life for his long-forgotten son. The father was happy in his new life, and he didn't want anything upset in that. Now, the father really wasn't mean. Now, I won't say the father was mean, but he was dismissive, shooing this shell-shocked son away. I've never forgotten that story, because that father was fairy-taling. He was believing his actions, his decisions, and his choices were only affecting him. He was fairy-taling when he left years ago, and he was still fairy-taling as he now shooed this boy away from his doorstep. Now, I know that's a pretty over-the-top illustration, but it powerfully shows the reality of how we are not self-contained. We are not separate from others. And enjoying life will not happen if we think we are. Our life, each of our lives, creates a wake, and many others bob up and down on that wake. Now, the good news is, the reality is, we can use our wake to positively impact and affect others. But that means you have to be the best you that you can be. Friends, we do that by asking God to show us where we are fairy-taling, and then ask him to show us his truth. Psalm 25, verse 5 says, "Teach me to live according to your truth, for you are my God who saves us. I always trust in you." Again, the world we live in, you know it, and I know it, the world we live in today is filled with fairy tales, filled with untruths, and filled with non-realities. But with God's word, they aren't really very hard at all to identify. If you are unfamiliar with the children's story of the emperor's new clothes, allow me to explain. There was an emperor who spent exorbitant amounts of money, the country's money, on his own personal clothing. Well, from out of nowhere, two con artists arrive in the capital city of the emperor. And they pass themselves off as great weavers, great clothing makers. They speak to the emperor himself and they explain, "We have the ability, we have the unbelievable ability to make the most ornate, beautiful, nothing better clothes. These clothes are so unbelievable, no one can fathom it, but they're that good. The thing about our clothes is this, though. They are invisible to people who are stupid. They are invisible to people who are incompetent." Well, this enthralls the emperor. And he says, "I want those kind of clothes." So the emperor orders the special clothes to be made for him. So the crooks, they start setting up their equipment. And they start miming as if they're making clothes. Oh, look at that. Oh, that. And they're going on and on for days like this, miming, making invisible clothes. Well, the king's officials come to check out the weavers. They see absolutely nothing. They see nothing but two men mimicking the work of making clothing. But knowing the stipulation, only stupid people and only incompetent people cannot see these wonderful clothes. Well, the officials then pretend that they see the clothes and they rave about how beautiful they are. When the clothes are finally finished, the emperor comes in for his final dressing. They bring him in and they mime and mimic putting the clothes on the emperor and tell him how awesome, how incredible he looks with nothing on but these invisible clothes. The emperor then, proud as a peacock, walks out to the street where they're having a parade for him. And he walks down the street in his beautiful, brand new, invisible clothes. Everyone knew the rules. Everyone in the whole town knew the rules. So they all act like it's wonderful. What beauty, you look awesome, Emperor. You're the most beautiful clothes we ever seen. Until one little boy standing there, taking it all in, like, he's naked! And when he says that, everyone erupts in laughter, and they all realize, including the emperor, that they have been bamboozled. Friends, may we all be like that child in Hans Christian Andersen's book. May we all see what is fairy tale and what is reality. May we all see what is correct and what is incorrect. May we all see what brings enjoyable life and what does not. Because we can all enjoy life. But to get there, you have to embrace reality, not fantasy. Let's spend the last few minutes talking to God in song. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that we can come to your word and gain help and insight into the lives that we're living. Lord, it is our desire to be a joyful people, a grateful people, people who head into life with a smile on our face and truly, truly mean it when we have a magnet on the back of our car that says, enjoy life. Because I am. But Lord, we know it takes effort. We know it takes a spiritual savvy to be able to traverse all that this world has and to do it in a way that is successful. But Lord, I know that your spirit is available to us. And I pray that you'd help each of us to tie into that. If there are any tonight, Lord, who are listening, who are still back at week one, where they know about you, but they haven't come alive spiritually. They haven't let the soul inside of them have its birth. Lord, I pray that even now, they would be honest about where they are. They would look at the reality of where their life is and say, it can be better. Jesus can change what I have and turn it into gold. But it means admitting our need, admitting that our sin has kept us away from God, but now believing that Jesus can take that sin away through the power of what he did on the cross. And confessing that we want that. Confessing that we need a Savior, and confessing that Jesus is the Savior we're trusting in. Lord, if there are any who need to do that, I pray they do that now. Start the process by simply saying, I need you. I want you, and I accept all you have for me. Forgive me. Place your spirit inside me to guide me. And then take me by the hand
and let's walk through life together. Lord, I pray now that you keep us strong through the weekdays. Lord, thank you for showing us breaks in this storm that we've been in over the past year, and knowing that there are hopeful pockets that are leading the way to help us get to where you want us to be, where we can have the full freedom that we have enjoyed in the past. And Lord, I pray that you'd help our hearts to continue to do what you've called us to do throughout this entire process, and that is to be joyful and thankful and grateful, and to let our light shine. Now, Lord, keep your hand upon us as we go in different directions. Keep us strong through the weekdays by the power of your Holy Spirit. We leave ourselves in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Next week, we continue on. We're going to be looking at fairy telling about what we believe about others. I encourage you to be here. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you soon.